From NPR and WNYC, this is Ask Me Another. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and I'm here in studio with house musician Jonathan Coulton, because this week we're dedicating an hour to a special theme, TV. TV on the radio. That's right, it's our first and only television show on the radio. It's about time, I'd say. We're going to be revisiting some of our favorite games about television, and we're going to be playing a brand new game with one lucky phone contestant. Jonathan, is there a show that you wish had its own spinoff, like The Walking Dead has Fear of the Walking Dead?
Yeah, I feel like when they did a spinoff of Walking Dead, they missed a great opportunity.
Oh, yeah?
Well, what they should have done is done a spinoff where it's just about one of the zombies.
The life of the zombie?
The life of the zombie is just his day-to-day life. You follow him around. He's kind of shuffling for maybe 20 minutes in the show, and he hears a noise, and he goes, he checks it out, it's nothing. But sometimes it's a person. Walking Dead Miami. Walking Dead SVU.
Walking Dead Las Vegas. Oh, brilliant. So in this game, we play a word game in which we create television show spinoffs. Let's see how well contestants Carmine Giovino and Annie Brogan do in this game.
Puzzle guru John Chinesky, please give us an example.
Sheriff Rick Grimes thought that zombies in America were tough, but now he's fighting meat puppets on a lake in the Middle East that's got so much salt in it, the zombies float. That would be a summary for The Walking Dead Sea.
Oh.
Great. Right.
So it's awesome. It's a bit of a mashup, a bit of a pun. Right. It will always start with the name of an actual television show with some extra stuff jammed onto the end. Elegantly. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay. Down on their luck, the Dunphys and the Pritchetts go on a popular game show and suddenly find themselves undefeated champions. Will their hilarious answers to survey questions ever end? Annie.
Modern Family Feud.
You got it. In this prequel spinoff, we discover the real reason Walter White started his meth empire. Years of exposure to chemicals gave him chronic halitosis. Annie.
Breaking Bad breath.
That's right. Sort of a limited idea for a series, but
I love it. It's like, who cares about your breath when you have meth teeth, I guess. They.
Your breath is sort of the least of your worries.
Yeah, exactly.
To make up for a series finale that was hated by its fans, Ted Mosby and Robin begin telling the kids the story of how they purchased a liberal political magazine and launched a media empire. Annie.
How I Met Your Mother Jones.
Nice.
People are impressed by that. They're like, oh, that sounds like a show I would like.
Upon regenerating for the 12th time, our title character's TARDIS, that's a hint, is pulled to New York City, where he is challenged to answer increasingly difficult multiple-choice questions to win a life-changing amount of money.
Oh, Carmine, you don't know? You're just giving it to Annie?
Okay. Carmine is like, go ahead, Annie.
Doctor Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
That's right.
This was my biggest fear. Not just about this show in general. This was my biggest fear.
in your life. Yeah. When Peter Griffin leaves this animated show to pursue other opportunities, he is replaced by a British director whose ex-wife, Madonna, makes frequent appearances in cutaway gags.
Yes!
Carmine! Great job, Carmine!
I don't want to screw this up now. Family Guy Ritchie.
That's right!
Yeah. I'm on the board.
That's Carmine, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Buzzer number two. To make peace with their human counterparts, the vampires of Bon Ton form a medical supply company and embark on a noble challenge to create a device that makes the most accurate systolic and diastolic measurements ever. Carmine.
True blood drive? True blood machine?
No, those are both wrong. Annie, do you have a guess?
I do, and it's only because he said true blood, so thank you.
You're welcome. Do I get half a point?
It's story of your life, Carmine.
True blood pressure gauge?
Just true blood pressure would have done it.
Oh, okay.
Wait. It's where you go if you are feeling twi-light-headed.
Wow. Come on.
Wow, that's pretty good.
No.
That's pretty good. All right, this is your last question. In the season finale, Frank Underwood attempts to undermine his opponent's chances at winning the presidency by filming him playing an offensive fill-in-the-blank party game with wealthy donors. Carmine.
House of Cards Against Humanity?
That's right. John Chinesky, how did our contestants do?
Well, he made a big push at the end, but I'm afraid our winner today of spinoffs is Annie. Way to go, Annie.
The sad thing about all TV shows is that they have to end sometime, except, of course, for The Simpsons. That show is going to outlast us all. But the best thing a TV show creator can hope for is that you know when the end is coming and you can write a fitting last episode.
Sometimes that episode is amazing, like Don Draper sitting on the top of a mountain.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
That's a spoiler.
Spoiler. And other times the ending gets a little weird. So in this game, we quiz James Gallen and Adar Eisenbrook on series finales that were a little controversial.
You ready?
The family matriarch sits with her typewriter in the basement. A voiceover tells us that she never won the lottery. It was just a fantasy. Worse, we find out that Dan has been dead for the entire last season. Mrs. Connor curls up on a ratty couch, turns on the TV as a quote from Lawrence of Arabia flashes on the screen. James.
Roseanne.
That is correct, Roseanne. It was a weird one.
Oh, I love Roseanne. That was like the best show growing up. I wasn't allowed to watch it because I was too little, but I used to sneak
in. And they thought you would be influenced by that show in a bad way?
You know, working class. I don't think it was like a bad thing.
You don't want to show kids a lot of working class stuff.
Yeah. We just watched Dynasty and went, yeah.
Aspirational television.
People who work 9-to-5 jobs are beneath you, James. Did you grow up really rich, James?
No, and I'm unemployed now.
Okay. So.
Our leading man takes his sister off life support and dumps her body in the ocean. Days later, we find out that he is dead too. Fade to black. But wait, suddenly we're in the Pacific Northwest, where our hero is hiding out, working as a truck driver. His beard is longer, and he's wearing flannel. James.
Dexter.
Dexter is correct.
I love a disguise where your beard is just longer.
Right. I'm wearing that right now.
Yeah, you're wearing, yeah. Our protagonist walks down a busy New York street in the same fur coat she wore in the series premiere. Her pink cell phone rings, she checks the caller ID, and finally, we learn that Mr. Big's real first name is, wait for it, John. James.
Sex in the City.
Sex in the City, yep.
My wife watched that movie every day for like a year. Oh. The one, not two.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
She has standards.
Yeah, that is, thank goodness.
No working class people in it either, so both both spouses
still
are
okay.
Happy.
Safe,
still
safe
okay.
To watch. The citizens of Walnut Grove, Minnesota discover that their small town has been purchased by a rich robber baron. In a bizarre attempt to preserve their dignity, Laura and the townsfolk elect to blow up their own homes. We watch everything explode. I remember watching this. It was weird.
Twin Peaks?
It's a fine guess, but it's incorrect. Yeah. Adar, do you know the answer?
There's a chance that I misrepresented my skill set during the application process. I don't know the answer.
I have never watched television. I do not know what television
yeah.
is.
Not a day goes by that I don't think the same thing.
I know. Do you watch a lot of television?
Well, I thought I did, but apparently not nearly enough.
You're wasting all your time in grad school.
Yeah.
You gotta be unemployed like James. Right. You have plenty of time for television. The answer we were looking for was Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre way to end that series.
We're in present-day New York City. Everyone's married to or about to get married to their high school sweetheart. After 6 years of guessing, we finally find out which character Kristen Bell was performing her voiceover for. And it was a guy. James.
Gossip Girl.
Yes, indeed.
Wow.
I don't feel bad that he got it.
I feel bad that I got it.
This children's series ends with Earl Sinclair gathering his family in the living room. He tells his children that his attempts to tamper with nature have set about the end of the world. What's going to happen to us? His adorable baby asks. The snow outside the window answers the question. Global cooling has doomed their entire species. James.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs! Are you kidding me?
I have nothing to do!
Who knew that Gossip Girl and dinosaurs was reaching the same demographic?
Back to back.
You're breaking all the models, James. It's fantastic.
I'm a renaissance man.
Yeah. I would like to give you a job right now, James. Will you watch television for me?
I will.
Yeah, you could do coverage or something at the very
least. Yeah.
Scheduling. Maybe scheduling would be good for you, because you're like, 8 a.m., I watch dinosaurs.
I don't get up until noon.
You're not selling us.
Yeah, you're just bragging now, really. All right. We're in church. Nearly all of the show's main characters, including deceased ones, hug and exchange meaningful looks, but no one says a word. Cut to the bamboo forest, where our bleeding protagonist is taking his final breath. Now we're back in church. As blinding light swallows the scene, the last shot, Jack's eye closes.
Sorry.
James?
Lost.
Lost is correct, yes. Puzzle guru Will Hines.
I mean, in the realms of honesty, they were both winners. But
thank you.
In terms of knowing maybe an unflattering amount about the end of a lot of television series, James was the clear winner. So, James, well done. You're moving on to the final round.
Coming up after the break, we get comfortable with someone who really does have the dream job of getting paid to watch television. I'm talking New Yorker television columnist Emily Nussbaum. And indie rock band They Might Be Giants joins Jonathan Colton in reviving some classic TV themes. I'm Ophira Eisberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.